Alti, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria and Switzerland.
Today's Alti interview deals with innovative index-linked products that are usually mapped in ETFs. We speak with Anthony Ginsberg, Managing Director of Gins Global Investment Management. Anthony, welcome to the virtual Alti Studios. You are based in Los Angeles. Thank you for joining us in the podcast Alti Does Interview. Hello.
Hi, it's great to be with you, Christian.
Thank you. Please introduce yourself briefly.
Christian, hi. We run an index fund business both in the US and across Europe. We have innovative ETFs listed on the Xetra DAX, London Stock Exchange, Swiss exchanges as well, covering tech-themed ETFs focusing on the mega trends, cloud computing and healthcare innovation. Here in the US, we work with a lot of large insurance groups such as Allianz, Zurich Life, AIG, designing index products for their life insurance and their annuity products here in the States.
Gins Global designs index products. What are the products and services you are offering and who is your target group?
It's a good question. On the ETF side, we've already tried to provide easy access at low cost for European investors to access our ETFs at low cost and access them for Silicon Valley and a lot of the tech megatrends that are occurring globally. We've found that it's quite difficult for Europeans, other than perhaps buying the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, to really get easy access to a lot of the technological, fast-growing companies in a safe, low-cost wrapper. So by listing it across the European bourses and also in London, we found these three ETFs a good way and very diversified. There are up to 100 underlying holdings in our ETFs. So that's really been appealing both to institutional and IFA and some high net worth private client business increasingly in the European market.
The U.S. elections are over and the Biden administration is forming up. Are there any areas that this is having a particularly positive impact to?
Yes, actually, the outcome is a very positive outcome, we think, for both big tech, but business in general, because the Republicans will most likely hold on to one or two of the Senate seats in Georgia. It means that they will control the Senate and you have a split government, meaning that you can see with the Biden appointments already with Janet Yellen as the appointed Treasury Secretary, he's going for moderate, middle-of-the-road people, not sort of the more extreme leftist, which would have been someone like Elizabeth Warren, perhaps, at Treasury. So we don't expect any extreme policies. There was talk initially if there had been this blue wave of Democrats winning the Senate and the House of Representatives, they would have potentially have been higher tax rates for corporations, maybe from jumping from 21% under Trump to 28%. This is not going to happen now. And also, under Trump, the big tech was very much unable to get some of their policies discussed. The White House was very unorthodox. So things like allowing foreign expertise to work for the likes of the big tech companies, it's called an H-1B visa, you may be aware of. Trump put a moratorium on it. This is now going to be lifted under Biden. So big tech is actually quite positive that both on the immigration side, getting better foreign expertise to come and work here, the Chinese issue will be a bit more policy driven, where you won't see Biden targeting just individual companies by waking up on the wrong side of the bed, let's say with TikTok or other individual companies being targeted. It will be much more process driven, and the view from Silicon Valley at any rate is it will be a much more normalized procedural White House, and that is good for business. So actually, there's a lot of positive takeaways from the recent election. I would just say one other quick thing. Although Biden may be tough on China, as I say, he'll be working more with his allies, both in the EU and globally with the World Trade Organization. And just other issues that we see with Biden supporting big tech, and one of the reasons the shares have rallied, is big tech does want to have a GDPR, a data privacy rule here. They want more guidance. They want to cooperate more with the White House on things like social media, what is going to be allowable in terms of publishing. They want more direction and rules. So there will be more direct cooperation between Silicon Valley and Washington, in our view, going forward.
The pandemic is lasting longer than we all thought. How is COVID influencing your activities?
Here in Los Angeles, you know, a lot of the school systems are shut down. But what we've seen, particularly in our ETFs, is that the work from home behaviors are not going to go back to normal. Because this has now been longer than 7-8 months, many people are getting very comfortable with these remote technologies and behaviors. So we actually see the likes of our holdings. If you look at our cloud technology ETF or our megatrend ETF, which cover the likes of Zoom and other remote holdings that have benefited sizably, you know, obviously from cloud computing in particular, we see people embracing it. We see companies such as NVIDIA spiking with their demand. And we don't see that demand lessening. A case like NVIDIA, it's because people are increasingly upgrading their computer technology at home. They need better computer chips. A lot of this is also forcing businesses to reduce their hardware and on-site IT budgets. So the IT budgets in the US have actually been slashed for the traditional on-site or hardware, and most IT budgets are moving more and more towards the cloud, which is really driving the digital revolution. So we see this period of the pandemic having really fast-tracked adoption rates massively. The experts that we talk to believe that essentially we've seen about a four-year fast-tracking, something that would have typically taken 4 years, whether it's telemedicine or it's working remotely from home or adopting, you know, conference calling like Zoom. Typically, that would have taken at least 4 to 5 years to have gotten to these levels in the normal course. So there's been a real, Christian, fast-tracking adoption rates, and they've been the big beneficiaries. Any tech firms that have been able to operate or provide assistance remotely have really scored. I would say one last thing. The fact that the budgets are essentially doubling for cloud usage is because there's a cost saving involved. There's also the reliability of the internet. But ultimately, it's the flexibility of the subscription model that the cloud computing services offer. And actually, today, Amazon is making the vast majority of their profits now on cloud. Their division is called AWS. They support Formula One and many other corporate entities. And it's actually creating almost 60% of their profits based on the last three quarters alone. This is Amazon. Whereas the delivery that my wife is ordering in the driveway, that Amazon Prime is a much, much smaller piece of their profits nowadays.
Yesterday, the Dow Jones Index was passing the 30,000. What does this mean for you?
Yes, I think it's partly a relief rally that we are not going to have any challenges with the Trump administration moving out later in January, and it would be a smooth transition. And also a vote of confidence in the appointees that Biden is putting together for his cabinet, which we see here as mostly very moderate. Also, the view really is that as the lockdowns hopefully ease up in the U.S. in the first and second quarter with the vaccine coming along, that a lot of those companies have actually, frankly, whether it's leisure or it's the industrials or it's the cyclicals, they've actually underperformed for many, many months. So the view really is that, yes, tech has done quite well, but we see tech continuing because of the adoption rates. But the broader market is now also playing a role. And we actually expect, if you look at the moment, that the Dow and the S&P, half of those holdings have really gone nowhere since the pandemic. So if those guys start recovering, you'll see an additional rally, in our opinion, in the U.S. during the first and second quarter, particularly if the vaccine rollout from Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, and a few others really pick up pace. You know, we have this healthcare innovation product, and we also invest in gene editing. You know, our tech megatrend is very broad. We've got 104 holdings in there, and BioNTech is one of our holdings. So we're very, very closely monitoring the vaccines, and it really does look increasingly likely that, particularly here in the U.S., it could be rolled out within the next 2 to 3 months pretty broadly.
What do you expect for the next 3 to 5 years in your business?
Well, I guess none of us are prophets exactly in terms of how the markets are going to do. We do expect 2021 to be a recovery globally in the stock market. We've already seen it also not just in the tech space, but we want to say that a lot of people have been nervous regarding technology, because if you look at the NASDAQ, it's very top heavy with only six counters or six holdings really comprising almost half the index. So we've tried and we continue to strive to work with both insurance companies and in the ETF vehicles to provide broad access, you know, at low cost, you know, around 50 odd basis points for people to really get a broad covering of the digital revolution, whether it's cybersecurity or it's cloud or social media. So we think the adoption rates will continue. We see the just in the advertising space, traditional advertising is now going to go down to about one third, and two thirds will be online advertising. So these are massive trends. We don't see it changing. We see it actually gathering speed. So our view is you have to have some exposure to the broad digital revolution. You could call it the fourth industrial revolution. We think it's going to continue to pick up pace. Americans are going to do more robotics in their factories as the onshoring away from China becomes a bit more mainstream here. That is one thing that Biden administration will not change. There'll be more American factories bringing production back online here to the U.S. They will be using robots, cost half of what a typical American worker costs when you factor in healthcare benefits and other social security benefits. So we see the American products becoming more automated, the manufacturing using AI, robotics more. So the whole area around cloud computing, it's becoming a lot more mainstream than just saying work from home. It's actually driving a lot of production logistics as well. And so we're very positive both on the cloud computing, but also more broadly how this digital revolution has become a lot more mainstream. And we think over the next 5 years, people, if they don't have exposure to some of the mid-cap and smaller players, if they only focus on the FANGs, it's a bit risky because there is some antitrust challenges to Google that may well continue under Biden. Although we see the smaller and the mid-caps having a better chance of actually growing even faster because they don't have the regulatory threat. They can do more M&A corporate activity over the next 3 to 5 years. So we actually like the large-cap, mid-cap, and small-cap space a little more than just these mega-cap five or six FANGs, as we call them, which do dominate and perhaps overexpose people in some of the traditional indexes.
This was Anthony Ginsberg from Gins Global Investment Management. Thank you for the very interesting interview.
Thank you, Christian.
LTE.com, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. LTE.com.